You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today for Wednesday, January 24th, 2018. Good morning. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. And we're here as we are every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern now as part of the new Fantasy Sports Radio Network programming schedule. Bring you the latest in fantasy sports, what happened last night, what's going to happen today. We have a lot to talk about today. The more NFL coaching changes, more rumors, negative talk about Dez Bryant. Is Larry Fitzgerald going to be back next season? We're going to have to wait and see on that one. We'll have some more on that. It was a slow night in the NBA, but somewhat eventful. And the New York Knicks missing without one of their top players again. We'll talk about that as well. And who had to step up to fill the void. Also some injuries, etc. as well. And very busy night in the National Hockey League. In Major League Baseball, there are some rumors. Have we finally found a home for Christian Yelich? Is he going to stay in Miami? We don't know. I'm going to have to wait and see. So that's something else that we'll tackle this morning as well here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And last night, they announced some awards for the Fantasy Sports Trade Association. Actually, they revealed their 2017 award winners. We'll talk about that as well. And also some daily fantasy industry news out of the state of Massachusetts. So we certainly have a lot to cover today right here on Fantasy Sports Today, and that's why you tune in every single morning as we give you what happened last night and what's going to happen today. We get you fully prepared for the day in fantasy sports. It'll be a busier night tonight in the NBA. We'll have some injury updates for you as well. Not a lot going on in hockey in terms of injuries. Also, there's a piece of golf news that you need to know, but it doesn't look like it's going to be too serious as we get ready for the Farmers Insurance Open on Thursday. That will mark the return of Tiger Woods. You definitely want to go to dailyroto.com as they have special offers for the Farmers Insurance Open. And also go to rotoexperts.com and check out our previews from our Dom Cerrito and also Matt Rumack, who does that every week. So we got golf coming up. The Daytona 500 is less than a month away now. Not a lot of news right now when it comes to fantasy NASCAR, because the race is so far away, but testing will start soon. Of course, the Super Bowl is on the radar as well. Looks like Rob Gronkowski is going to be able to play as well. Tom Brady expected to get the bandage off his hand this week. That's something else we can look at as we get closer to the Super Bowl. It's really not an issue, though, because Brady was able to play in the AFC Championship game through it. Looks like he's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine for the Patriots. The Eagles getting in the Super Bowl for the first time since 2004. As everybody knows, their fans are very, very excited. But can Nick Foles deliver for them? We'll have to wait and see. But there's a lot else to talk about right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on Sirius on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back with some NFL news next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel, here 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning. Don't know if we'll have time to get to eSports today, but if you missed it, you can listen to 1-2 Punch with Zorin T every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, but of course now it's Wednesday morning, so you want to listen to that on demand now. All right, let's get to what's going on in the National Football League, the latest happening there. The Giants hired ex-Cardinals defensive coordinator James Betcher as their new defensive coordinator. The Cardinals have had some issues the last few years, but defense certainly not one of their problems, as the last few years they have they performed very well under Betcher. They finished fifth in the league in yards allowed in 2015, second in 2016, and sixth in 2017. So the Giants really need this after finishing 31st in yards allowed last year, as new coach Pat Shurmur tries to flesh out his new staff. According to CBSSports.com, Darrell Bevell, who was recently fired as the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, will interview for the Vikings offensive coordinator job, which was vacated by Shurmur. He also did interview for the Cardinals offensive coordinator position. Bevell was actually with the Vikings during the Adrian Peterson, Percy Harvin regime to 2006 until 2010. He was the Minnesota offensive coordinator before he came to Seattle, so that would be a return home, obviously under a new coaching regime. Initially, Bevell was talked about as a quarterback's coach for one or two teams, but we're seeing these offensive coordinators get recycled, etc. And some of them certainly bounce around. Todd Haley is now the new offensive coordinator in Cleveland. So it's really a thing of a lot of these guys getting recycled, etc., even though they're unexpiring. And when you speak about uninspiring, Mike McCoy led the Broncos offense to the 17th overall position in terms of offensive ranking last year, and he's going to interview also for that Cardinals offensive coordinator job. Again, McCoy, another one of these very uninspiring guys, but he didn't have a lot to work with in Denver in terms of the quarterback or a consistent running back. According to NBC, Derek Carr said a back injury affected him all throughout the 2017 season. And he suffered the injury in week four. Carr had his worst year since his rookie season. 3,496 passing yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Those were his worst numbers since the season of 2012. Now John Gruden is there. There are some rumors about Le'Veon Bell maybe actually being a guy in free agency that they pick up, because there's a lot of offensive talent in Oakland, but they haven't been able to exploit it. Amari Cooper has been a huge, huge disappointment, but with a healthy Derek Carr, things could certainly look up for this team in 2018. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. as is this team going to go in another direction at running back? We don't know. Marshawn Lynch, that could be his last year if they choose to move in another direction. Lynch was not overly impressive last year. He wasn't terrible either. But if you think the Raiders are going to really have some Super Bowl aspirations, they'll go beyond Lynch. Larry Fitzgerald, according to published reports, still hasn't made a decision on playing the season. He's going to be 35 when the new year starts, but look at the numbers from last year. 109 catches, 1,156 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Steve Wilks already coming out and saying that this is a key to our success going forward. So we'll have to wait and see. I think something will hinge on the quarterback situation. That's sort of obvious speculation. If this is a team that can nail down a Kirk Cousins or somebody like that, because there just isn't a lot in free agency, that'll probably play into Larry Fitzgerald's decision, because I can tell you firsthand, speaking to him a few years ago, one-on-one, that the quarterback situation would aggravate him. Now, this was before they got Carson Palmer, etc., that he was really, really upset with the Cardinals quarterback situation. So it's probably going to hinge a lot on that for Fitzgerald. Dez Bryant, coming off of his worst overall season in terms of when he played 16 games, 69 catches, 838 yards, 6 touchdown receptions. Stephen Jones yesterday came out and called out Bryant for his antics on the sideline, something sometimes wearing on the team, saying it can be a distraction, says he doesn't have the chemistry with Dak Prescott that he had with Tony Romo. It's still a work in progress. Later in the day at the Senior Bowl, Jerry Jones spoke up and says the team has no plans to move on from him. There have been rumors about a pay cut. Jerry Jones was his mom on that. There's also been talk of a trade, etc. I guess they'll see what they can work out with Dez Bryant, but Dez Bryant was very, very uninspiring and a fantasy disappointment this past year, as well as a disappointment of Cowboy fans. You have to wonder, watching him play this year, if all the injuries have caught up to him, because the explosion just isn't there. The Case Keenum news continues to flow through, but there's really nothing new. It's just Mike Zimmer at his year-end press conference saying that they're going to work through the process at quarterback, which really doesn't tell us anything. Also with Tyrod Taylor, we don't know where he's going to be in next year. It's widely speculated that he won't be back in Buffalo. Bills coach Sean McDermott telling reporters that he's not going to get into his future and they're going to continue to evaluate the position. A lot of these coaches playing tight-lipped. But Tyrod Taylor, look, you could see him in Denver next year. You could see him in Arizona. Place like that, guy could still compete for a starting job. And also, free agent Josh McCown says he wants to play again next season. He would very much like to return to the Jets, that he had a very positive experience there, that he likes it from the ownership on down. McCown played very well, was actually a top 10 fantasy quarterback for a good stretch before he got hurt, working well with Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse. Those guys should be back with the Jets next year. And he's already familiar with them. The quarterback's coach, Jeremy Bates, was promoted to offensive coordinator, so not a big change. This would be smart for the Jets maybe to retain McCown, who is viewed as a guy who you can't win a lot of games with around the NFL, but that can certainly keep a team competitive. So if a team drafts a young quarterback and they want McCown to take him under his wing or act as a bridge to the future, it looks like he's the ideal kind of guy to do that. So maybe a team like the Jets will have to scrap the Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg failures, draft another quarterback possibly and have Josh McCown to continue to start until this kid is ready. And there's still that school of thought in the NFL that let the young guy sit behind the veteran. But a lot of times if these quarterbacks are ready to make an impact, we see them play early in their career. Look at guys like Russell Wilson, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, etc. These guys are all pushed in quickly. Robert Griffin III was pushed in quickly. Dating back to Ben Roethlisberger, all these guys are pushed in quickly. How often do you really see the young guy sitting behind the veteran anymore? If the young guy is good, he's going to get the opportunity pretty quickly. The veteran really doesn't last long over the young guy in a lot of cases. We saw it in Chicago this past year. That's a great example, actually. Mike Glennon was brought in as something of a veteran with not too much starting experience, but they felt that maybe Glennon could bridge the gap until Mitch Trubisky, but Glennon played so badly that it was just a matter of time before Trubisky got the job. And that's what you'll see in a lot of cases. If the young quarterback's ready, he's ready early. McCown is a guy that ideally you would want as an NFL backup, but the state of quarterback right now is just so dire in the NFL that Josh McCown is somebody really who could be a decent starter if you put him in the right situation. Of course, he didn't have much of a running game, much of a defense, but he could have led the Jets to a 500 record, maybe 9-7 if this team was better all around. But we'll see what the Jets plan to do next year. Coming up next, it's the night of the NBA. Not a lot of games, but some interesting performances and some winning streaks and losing streaks stop. We'll tell you about that next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Not a busy night in the NBA. A few pieces of news. We'll go through the box scores. Al Horford suffered a head injury late last night. They had to check him for a concussion. He went through the protocol. We don't have any extra reports about that right now as the Celtics lost to the Lakers. Kyrie Irving banged knees with Brandon Ingram, and he was able to finish the game, so no major concern there. Yesterday afternoon, we heard that Kristaps Porzingis was not going to play, and he tweaked his knee at practice earlier this week, and he sat out, and he might miss tonight's game as well. Again, in Denver, as the Knicks are on an extended road trip. Kyle O'Quinn also sat out with a calf injury as the Knicks lost to Golden State. Injuries continuing to pop up for Kristaps Porzingis. That always seems to be the issue with him. A lot of seasonal fantasy players who draft him know about it well. Paul Gasol sat out last night with a wrist injury. De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings was able to play just 11 minutes and score 7 points, but then had to leave the game with abdominal tightness and did not return to face the Magic as Sacramento ended an 8-game losing streak. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. Some notes for tonight's game. Reggie Bullock, iffy for tonight with a thumb injury, and Jarrell Martin also iffy for tonight with knee and ankle issues. So as we said, the Kings actually stopped a 8-game losing streak, beating the Magic 105-99. And hey, both teams now have identical 14-33 records. When De'Aaron Fox went out, Garrett Temple stepped up and scored a career-high 34 points and had 5 assists. If Fox is to miss any more time, Temple could be somebody who steps forward and you look at in DFS, but his career track really indicates that this was an outlier of what he did. He'll have to show us a lot more if Fox misses any significant time for us to really believe in him or want to pick him up. Scott Labissiere scored 10 points and had 9 rebounds. Willie Cauley-Stein with 21 points and 9 rebounds and 5 block shots. Not a good night for Bogdan Bogdanović, but he missed 8 of 12 shots from the field and finished with only 8 points, but I would expect him to bounce back rather quickly. Buddy Hield had 13 points off the bench. For the Magic, Aaron Gordon continues to have shooting issues as he missed 11 of 17 shots from the field and 5 of 7 from three-point range. He is really hurting your shooting percentage in seasonal leagues. Overall, otherwise, the line looked pretty good, though. 16 points, 12 rebounds. Frank Stamfel lookalike Evan Fournier had 22 points, but I guess maybe he's practicing with Gordon in shoot-arounds because he missed 8 of 10 three-point shots. Jonathan Simmons, 14 points, 4 rebounds. Elfrid Payton has been playing really well over the last week or so. 21 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds. Sometimes you worry about consistency with Elfrid Payton, but lately he's really picking it up, and you have to ride the hot hand with Elfrid Payton. The Cavaliers continue to crumble, losing again last night to the Spurs, 114-102. The Cavaliers have now lost 7 of 10 games this month and 9 of 12 overall. Actually, 10 of 13 overall. Tyronn Lue, who earlier said this week that there might not be any changes in the lineup, well, he said after this game that there might be. So we're going to have to watch out and see who comes out of the starting lineup. It's not going to be one of these guys, LeBron James, who had 28 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, hit 10 for 23 from the field, 2 of 6 from three-point range. Kevin Love will stay in the starting lineup. There was some controversy you probably heard about yesterday at a team meeting, according to published reports. Love's teammates were very angry that he left the arena early on Saturday in their most recent loss, questioning whether he actually had an illness. So Love stepped up and played last night, 27 minutes, and didn't look too good as far as shooting goes, with just 10 points on 4 for 8 from the field. He did grab 11 rebounds. I would not expect Love to come out of the starting lineup, but according to the published reports, he was able to explain away his illnesses to his teammates. But obviously, signs of turmoil here. I know some people have said, oh, the Cavaliers will turn it around. They'll be okay in the end. But we're seeing that they're not playing on the court, and now there's also seems to be talk of internal strife here. So not good. Isaiah Thomas did not have a good game for the field, shooting 3 for 9, 14 points. But he should be safe to stay in the lineup. The two guys that get pulled out are Jay Crowder, who had 13 points, and J.R. Smith, who did not score in 29 minutes. I would not be surprised to see J.R. Smith pulled out of the lineup very, very soon. And we'll have to see who gets in the lineup there. Could it be Dwayne Wade? Could it be Kyle Korver? I doubt Derrick Rose would probably be in that mix. We'll have to wait and see. LaMarcus Aldridge continues to do what LaMarcus Aldridge does. His 8 30-point game of the season, 30 points, 8 rebounds. Last night we mentioned that Paul Gasol was out. Whenever he's out or there's some injuries in the front court. You can always target Davis Bertans in Daly. Last night, 13 points and 5 rebounds. Kyle Anderson is starting to step forward. Greg Popovich said that he's going to pretty much get the chance to be the Lou Gehrig here for Kawhi Leonard, joking around after the game. He had 10 points and 12 rebounds, 5 assists. You'd like to get more points out of Anderson, but if he can fill it up across the board in these sort of all-around categories, because he is an all-around player. He's a guy who was raised as a point guard, but can play just about any position here. So he's going to give you versatility in terms of stats if you pick him up in a seasonal league. Murray with 19 points and 10 rebounds last night for San Antonio. And also Tony Parker, 14 points off the bench. But the big story, as we just mentioned, is DeJounte Murray. He's taken over the point guard spot, and he has paid immediate dividends. His second start last night, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 7 steals. 7 steals. So this guy, DeJounte Murray, he may run away with the job here. Somebody you want right now on your radar in Daly, and also to consider picking up for seasonal. Let's move on to Oklahoma City and the Nets. The Thunder beating the Nets 109 to 108. The Thunder have now won 5 games in a row. This was all about Russell Westbrook last night, 32 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Carmelo Anthony missed 8 of 12 shots from the field. Only 10 points. He did have 8 rebounds. Paul George with 28 points, 9 rebounds. And also off the bench, Raymond Felton, 14. Not that you would be using him in fantasy. The Nets getting 13 from Damari Carroll, 11 from Rondae Hollis-Jefferson with 6 points. Quieter night for Spencer Dinwiddie, 13.7 assists. Alan Crabb, just 12 points, but he did have 6 rebounds. Allen had 12 points off the bench and 11 rebounds. This is a guy to certainly keep your eye on right now. Jared Allen, the Nets trying to give him more minutes here. But, you know, the Nets are kind of a mess right now. You know, they're trying to, you know, work. They're trying to work several players back here into the rotation. Caris LeVert, only 6 points right now. His stock is starting to drop. What I mean when I'm trying to move players back in the rotation, they're trying to get D'Angelo Russell back involved. I meant him specifically. But, you know, balance attack, not what you want to see from fantasy perspective. No one guy or two guys really dominating the statistical output there. It was the Lakers 108, the Celtics 107. The banged up Lakers having some players play through an injury. Brandon Ingram playing through an ankle injury. Kyle Kuzma playing through a finger injury as well. But the Lakers were able to earn their 3rd straight win. Julius Randle with 14 points and 14 rebounds. We mentioned Ingram, not completely healthy. 7 points, 9 rebounds. He should start to pick it up soon. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 8 points, 4 rebounds, recently coming back from an injury himself. The guy that really stepped forward again was Jordan Clarkson, playing 34 minutes and scoring 22 points. He's going to be very useful as long as Lonzo Ball continues to miss time. Kyle Kuzma playing very well through that injury, 28 points. And Larry Nance Jr. with 11 points. For the Celtics, Al Horford with 13 points and 12 rebounds in that late head injury. Tatum with only 4 points last night. Irving with 33 points. The shoulder continues to not be an issue, it seems, over the last 2 games. Jaylen Brown with only 6 points. Marquise Morris, 13 off the bench. Marcus Smart with 22 points off the bench, 7 for 13 from the field, 4 of 10 from three-point range. And to close out the night, it was the Warriors 123 and the Knicks 114. Kevin Durant was ejected late but still had career-high 14 assists to go along with his 14 points. Steph Curry doing most of his damage in the second half with 32 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. A quiet night for Klay Thompson. Only 9 points for Klay Thompson last night. Also, Delonte West had 12 points off the bench. For the New York Knickerbockers, Michael Beasley had to step up and start last night with Porzingis out. He had 21 points. Always seems to step up when needed. Tim Hardaway was cold from the field, missing 8 of 12. He finished with 11 points. Enes Kanter, 16 points, 9 rebounds. Jarrett Jack, 13 points and 6 assists. He's been serviceable as a deeper league flyer. You never know what you get from Courtney Lee on night to night, but he got 20 points last night. Frank Ntilikina with 19 minutes last night off the bench. As the Knicks may continue to fade from contention here, you might see Ntilikina at some point get to crack the starting lineup, but that just hasn't happened yet for the first round pick. So that's it for the night in the NBA. As we move on to Wednesday the 24th, we'll tell you what's going to happen tonight in the association. Light night last night, busier tonight. That's usually how it works. If you like playing on a short slate, DFS, last night was fun. Tonight's going to be much more busy. It all tips off at 7 o'clock with the Pelicans and the Hornets. The line is Charlotte minus 2. The over-under is not available yet. The Jazz will take on the Pistons. The line is Detroit minus 2.5. The over-under is 201. The Suns and the Pacers at 7 o'clock p.m. The line is Indiana minus 7.5. The over-under is 216. The Bulls and the Sixers should be a pretty good game at 7 o'clock at the Wells Fargo Center. The line is Philadelphia minus 5.5. The over-under is 218. The Raptors will also take on the Hawks at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The line is Toronto minus 6.5. The over-under is 215. Raptors on the road in that one. The Rockets and the Mavericks, this should be an easy one for the Rockets. The line is Houston minus 5.5. The over-under is 216.5. The Spurs on the second night of a back-to-back will thankfully get the Grizzlies at 8 p.m. Eastern. Probably the best game of the night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. The Timberwolves will take on the Trailblazers. Don't think Jimmy Butler is going to play tonight, but you'll have to check dailyroto.com and get lineup alerts in your inbox for that for sure. And also, the Celtics and the Raptors, the Clippers at 10:30 Eastern on ESPN. Back-to-back for the Celtics. Blake Griffin coming off his second triple-double of the season last night. The other night, actually on Monday. So the Celtics will have a lot to handle in the front court. We'll see if Horford is okay to go tonight. If you go to Inside Injuries on rotoexperts.com right now and read their latest report, you will see that they are still concerned about Kyrie Irving's shoulder is something to watch, but still he scored 33 points. Just something to keep in back of your mind injury-wise. So that is it for the NBA from last night. Let's move on to some other sports here on Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We have one piece of news in golf as Jason Day withdrew from the Wednesday Pro-Am in the Farmers Insurance Open because of a sore back, but Day is still expected to participate in the Farmers Insurance Open, which begins on Thursday. He will be making his first tournament start since the Australian Open in November. For all the picks and analysis, you go to rotoexperts.com. You check out our tournament preview and picks from Matt Rumack. You check out all the latest trends and DraftKings recommendations from our Dom Citarino. And, of course, you go over to DailyRoto.com, which now has special offers for this tournament. You want to go check that out. They have a brand-new product there with everything that you need to compete for fantasy golf, not only deep analysis from guys who have won in fantasy golf, but also tools that can help you out. So let's move on to Major League Baseball here. And Christian Yelich recently coming out and saying, well, at this point it was about over a month ago, that he wanted to be moved out of the organization if they didn't have a real plan for the future. Reportedly, he was going to meet with ownership. We never really heard anything come of that. All published reports indicate, including a recent report last week, that the relationship is irrevocably fractured between Yelich and the organization, and he wants out of Miami, as does JT Realmuto. The latest report coming from SiriusXM saying that the Milwaukee Brewers have put together a trade package for Yelich. They are very interested in him. We've heard the Brewers in a lot of rumors, including for Yu Darvish. This is a team that is on the come and is looking to maybe make a move that can make them more of a contender. And Yelich would certainly do it. I would always hear guys, including former GM Dan Jennings, and a lot of people within the organization referring to him as a future batting champ. And at 26 years old, we may have not seen the best of Christian Yelich just yet. Last year, he had 282 with 18 home runs and 81 RBIs and 16 stolen bases. This is a guy that can hit 290 plus easy this year and be 2020. He's somebody in fantasy baseball, while he's not an elite superstar, can really help you across the board. People have calmed down about Yelich the last few years. They wanted to see more prodigious power, etc. Thought he could be an elite player at some point, but you know he's certainly good for what he does. A move to Milwaukee would certainly help him, because if he stays in Miami, he's not going to be in much of a lineup at all. I think it's just a matter of time, obviously, but I'm being Captain Obvious by saying that I think both he and JT Realmuto will be moved. We have some more baseball coming up next. What's the latest on Todd Frazier? Is he staying in New York? And we'll also tell you about the Fantasy Sports Trade Association's 2017 awards. All that next here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Frazier as a possibility. Last year, Frazier hit 213 with 27 home runs and 76 RBIs. He finished the season with the Yankees. Those have been the two teams most noted to be in the mix for Todd Frazier, who is actually a New Jersey native, was very comfortable in New York, said he wouldn't mind playing for the Mets either. David Wright, if you listen to yesterday's On Target On Demand talking to Jake Seeley, saying that he's not done. He still wants to play, but the Mets cannot count on him, obviously. We've heard rumors of Mike Moustakas, who would be a real splash move for the Mets, but he might be looking for a long-term deal somewhere else. Maybe instead of going to the Mets, say, on a one-year rental. So the Mets may still do something at third base. Could be Frazier. I know a lot of their fans hope Moustakas could be the answer, but Frazier is probably more likely. The latest on Yu Darvish, the St. Paul Pioneer Press, saying that the Twins are unlikely to sign Darvish. the latest we heard other than that was the Cubs. And also, longtime Twins closer, three-time All-Star Glenn Perkins has retired. Fantasy players will remember him as somebody who was very effective when healthy, but unfortunately injuries were usually an issue with him. Also, Peter Gammons of the MLB Network saying that the Pirates could keep Josh Harrison maybe into the season. Harrison is asked to be traded out of Pittsburgh, but maybe the Pirates here not getting enough for what they like. Maybe they'll figure that they'll get something better during the season, especially closer to the trading deadline. In the NHL, Florida's James Reimer suffered a lower body injury in Tuesday's game against the Dallas Stars. And we'll move on here and let you know what else happened in the National Hockey League last night. We make sure we cover just about everything here for you on Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And, of course, you can always listen to Inside Edge Fantasy Hockey on demand every week with Chris Meaney and the crew. And we'll get to more on the Panthers last night, but it was a busy night in the NHL. So let's get started by telling you that Jonathan Drouin had a goal and two assists, and the Montreal Canadiens finally snapped Colorado's 10-game winning streak Tuesday night with a 4-2 win. The Avalanche, very, very surprising recently, but I guess all the good things have to come to an end at some point. Nicholas Descarries and Brendan Gallagher also scored for the Canadiens. Carey Price made 20 saves for his 14th win of the season. Nathan MacKinnon and JT Compher scored late in the third period for the Avalanche, who lost for the first time in this calendar year. Colorado's last loss came against Arizona on December 27th. Jonathan Bernier stopping 36 shots, but and the former Toronto Maple Leafs goalie is now 1-10-3 versus the Canadiens all time. Montreal outshot Colorado 40-22 and won for only the second time in six games. It was the Bruins 3 as the Devils 2, as Brad Marchand had a goal and assist, and Boston kept surging towards the All-Star break with a win over New Jersey. Patrice Bergeron and Riley Nash also scored for the Bruins, who won their fourth straight and improved to 13-0-4 in their last 17 games. Tuukka Rask stopped 37 shots as Boston won again, despite being outshot 39-24. It was the Lightning 4 and the Predators 3 in overtime, as Yanni Gourde scored 145 into overtime for the victory over Nashville. Chris Kunitz had a goal and two assists, and Vladislav Namestnikov and Steven Stamkos also scored as the NHL-leading Lightning won their second straight. Louis Domingue stopped 30 shots. The Flyers 3 and the Red Wings 2, another overtime game. Travis Konecny scored 27 seconds into overtime to push Philadelphia over Detroit. Jacob Voracek scored a tie-breaking goal in the last minute of the second period and assisted on Andrew McDonald's goal late in the first period for the Flyers. Brian Elliott stopped 19 shots. The Flyers have won four straight for the second time this month and 16 of 22 to surge into the playoff race. Moving on here, as it was a very busy night in the NHL, it was the Penguins 3 and the Hurricanes 1. Dominic Simon and Jean-Sebastien Day scored 76 seconds apart in the second period. Casey DeSmith made 34 saves, and Pittsburgh beat Carolina. Jake Guentzel had a goal midway through the third period, and Sidney Crosby extended the NHL's longest active point streak to 8 games for Pittsburgh, which has won 6 of 8. It was the Blues 3 and the Senators nothing. Carter Hutton made 25 saves for his 10th career shutout, and St. Louis received goals from Vladimir Sobotka and Vladimir Tarasenko to beat struggling Ottawa. Brandon Schenn, who also had an assist and an empty net goal for his 20th of the season. as the Vladimirs got it done for St. Louis. It was the Stars 6 and the Panthers 1 as Alexander Radulov had 2 goals and assists to lead Dallas past Florida in a penalty-filled game. Devin Shore had a goal and assist, and Jamie Benn and Tyler Pitlick were also among the scorers for the Stars, who improved to 4-0-1 in their last 5 games. Sabres 5, Oilers nothing. Jack Eichel had a goal and 3 assists. Ryan O'Reilly scored twice, and Buffalo earned an easy win over Edmonton. Robin Lehner made 33 saves for his second shutout of the season. The surging Las Vegas Golden Knights, what an expansion team they are. They beat the Blue Jackets 6-3. William Karlsson scored 2 goals against his former team. Marc-Andre Fleury stopped 29 shots. Brad Hunt, Colin Miller, James Neal, and Eric Holla also scored for the Golden Knights, while Jonathan Marchessault added 2 assists. Also is the Ducks 5, Ducks 6, and the Rangers 3. Andrew Calignano and Adam Henrique capped Anaheim's first 4-goal first period. It was a 4-goal first period, not the first of that season against the slumping Rangers. Rick Nash had 2 goals, and Michael Grabner also scored for the Rangers, who have now lost 6 of their last 8. Matt Modica is not very happy. Neither is Pete Considori right now. Jets 5, Sharks 4 in overtime. Brian Little scored his 2nd goal of the game 18 seconds into overtime, lifting Winnipeg over San Jose. The Canucks 6 and the Kings 2 as Louis Erickson led Vancouver's early outburst with 2 goals and assists in the first 6 minutes. So that's it. Very busy night in the NHL. Let's tell you about some fantasy industry news. Massachusetts lawmakers, according to the Associated Press, are considering taxing daily fantasy sports operators. State Senator Eileen Donohue has introduced legislation making the DFS games permanently legal and subject to a 15% tax. The bill calls for a fee equal to either $100,000 or 1.5% of a DFS company's gross revenue. Of course, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association concerning how this will affect startups and small businesses. Right now, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association Winter Conference has wrapped up in Los Angeles at the Westin Hotel. And yesterday, among the other panels that they did and everything else, they had their 2017 awards. You can check out the full list on @FantasySportsTA on Twitter and would soon be posted on FSTA.org. Some of the highlights right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and also in the past and continuing on Fantasy Sports TV Network. You can always catch the Fantasy Footballers. Check out their podcasts on sportsgrid.com. They won the FSTA's inaugural Small Fantasy Business of the Year, as well as Best Social Media. Those were the best social media was actually voted on by the fans this year. Of course, congratulations again to Daily Roto's Drew Dinkmeyer, honored with the FSTA's Humanitarian of the Years for his efforts in raising over $40,000 for a clean water charity. Congratulations to our friends at Inside Injuries as they tied with Stats Inc. to win the Best Data Provider Award. Draft.com won 4 awards, including Best Draft Room, Best Games App, Best Daily Fantasy Game. ESPN cleaned up at the FSTA Awards, winning 8 trophies, including Best Analyst, the talented Mr. Roto, Matthew Berry. Some other award winners, Best Video Show, Fantasy Football Now on ESPN. Best News and Analysis Site for Multiple Sports is RotoWire. Best News and Analysis Site in a Single Sport, Pro Football Focus and Baseball HQ were named co-winners. Analyst of the Year, we told you, Matthew Berry. Host of the Year, Field Yates of ESPN from Sunday NFL, from the Sunday show on ESPN. Best Content and News App, ESPN. Best print publication was RotoWire. Best fantasy merchandise, Fantasy Jocks. You can go check them out if you want to get trophies or championship rings. We mentioned draft and the awards that they won. Best game, non-major sport, was ESPN Tournament Challenge. Best fantasy sports commissioner was Yahoo Sports. Innovator of the year was ESPN/ABC Bachelor Fantasy League. Rookie of the year was GM Genius. And small fantasy business of the year was the Fantasy Footballers, as we mentioned. Make sure you go check out the full list right now at FSCA on Twitter. And also be published soon. They sent out a press release to everybody in the industry at FSCA.org. The Roto Experts are next. And you'll find out who fantasy sports analysts deem as Hall of Fame worthy for Major League Baseball in 2018.